exhaustive truth. It doesn't have every single truth there is about every single thing in this world. But it is sufficient. So it won't tell you how to fix your car, but it will tell you what attitude you need to have if your car breaks down. It won't tell you exactly what school do you need to put your kids into in 2010, but it will tell you what are the good principles you need to have to make a decision and to make a choice on behalf of your children. It won't tell you exactly who to vote for, but it will give you principles to follow and to examine as you diligently examine truth and examine people as they compare to what the Word of God says. So the Bible is not exhaustive, but it is sufficient. There are some specifics, but also mostly there are principles we can follow. So there are specific things in the Bible, like, for example, how to be saved, how to receive salvation. That's very specific in the Bible. Like, there's no cloud of interpretation there. But at the same time, there are principles. So the Bible says that as believers, we should meet, right? It doesn't say exactly, you know, what time of the day we need to meet. The Bible says we need to break the word, the bread together. You know, it doesn't say how big the loaf is, how big the cup is, and all these other things. So there are principles, although there are no specifics. And that's important for us to understand. Now, the question here is, what does that mean, again, sufficiency of scriptures? Well, go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. If the scriptures are God-breathed, no, all scripture is breathed out by God. If they are inspired by God, there's one very important thing we need to understand, that the Word of God is an authority over our lives. Okay? It determines what we need to do and who we are. Why? Because if you call yourself a Christian, that means you have this desire to do the will of God. Okay? That's implicit right there. That means I'm following God. I stopped going through my own means. I've turned around to God, and now I'm following Him. So if the Bible is breathed out by God, guess what? This is authority. This means that if you have a different opinion from the Bible, who should win? The Bible should win. Now, if you're doing things your own way, but then you're faced with scriptures that tells you you should change the way you do this, and you realize that by scriptures that is true, well, if the Bible is inspired and it is your authority, guess what? That means I need to surrender myself, surrender the way I think, and do things the way God is telling me to do them. Secondly, the scripture provides the power to change. And we saw that through 2 Peter 1:3. You know, it's not only the authority, it's also the source of power. Those promises from God that are registered here in this beautiful book empower our spirit and our lives to change completely. And another verse I'd like for us to see is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You could turn there, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Romans tells us that the transformation, not the conformation to this world, but the transformation of a believer happens when his mind is renewed. And it is the Word of God that renews our minds. It reveals the will of God so that we can follow. Now, let me finish with this question. Maybe you already knew all of this. This is not new to you. We're reminding it because it's so important. But a question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, so what does it mean to me? Okay, I understand what it means. I understand what it says. But what does that mean then to me? Where do you go for help on how to live life? You know, when you have a question about this life, what are your sources of help? Now, do we firstly, and I'm not saying we don't, okay, but is our first, you know, source of help books or other people or advice or a magazine or a TV show? What's our first source of help? You know, where do we go to on how to live life? What level is the scripture there for you? You know, as you face new stages in life, newlyweds that are starting to live together, parents that have a newborn child, you know, couples that now are empty nesters, where do we go as we face those new stages? Do we just wait until, you know, problems attack us? Or do we go to Scripture and say, okay, I want to find out what the Word of God has to say about the situation that I'm in right now? How do I study that? Where do I go? Who do I ask about scriptures? Can I talk to my elders about this? Can I get some guidance on what does the Bible say on this specific thing, on this specific topic? I am interested on seeing what the Bible says because I want to be transforming my mind and I want a real change in my heart so that I am more like Christ in this new life situation that I have. Secondly, what kind of advice do we give to others? I think that speaks really loud about the role that scriptures have in our minds and our lives. When somebody gives you an advice, do you often give that advice out of your own experience, out of your own opinion, out of what you believe should be done? Or is your advice grounded in scripture? Do you open the Bible when you are advising somebody else? Do you help them to show them the biblical principles? Maybe they want a specific answer. You can't give them specific answers, but you can give them what the Bible is giving them as principles to follow. Now, if we don't do that, then honestly, we don't have the Bible where it should be. And finally, you know, how much is the Word of God affecting the way that I live? And let me close by reading this verse in James chapter 1, verse 22. And through 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. At once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So how are we blessed in the things we do? And when I say the things we do, I mean everything we do. You know, every role we have as human beings, every area we have as believers. How are we blessed? We are blessed when we are not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the word of God. So I'd like to present a challenge to you that you would raise the sufficiency of the word of God in your life and in your heart. And that means asking yourself, and I would really love for you to ask yourself this morning, how much do I regard the Word of God? How much do I read it? How much do I study it? How much do I know the Bible says about things that I'm going in my life right now? You know, what does the Bible tell me about that? And What is my attitude with the teaching I received from the Word of God? Because I think that's very important. You know, do you remember the teaching you received a month ago or maybe 3 weeks ago? And did that change your life somehow? Did you have something you want to apply to do from what you learned? Because remember, the Word of God is effective in us not only when we hear it, but when we hear it and we do it. So as you are presented the Word of God week after week after week, it would be great if you had a little notebook with you or you had a note in your cell phone that would remind you, what does God want me to do with this thing that I'm learning today? No, and maybe throughout the week, you can put that up in your prayer time and ask the Lord to help you to do this and maybe show you more of the Word of God and how to apply it. And that way, you'll be growing, you'll be applying, and you will be blessed in all your life. May the Lord raise this chapel to be a chapel of doers, hearers, and doers of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word, and thank you for the challenge you present to us from it. Thank you that you have given us everything we need, every wisdom that is necessary for us to change and for us to deal with this sinful life that we are in. God, we pray. We pray that you would help us, guide us, and be with us. But especially, we pray that you will transform our hearts and our minds and transform our attitude towards Scripture. Help us to not regard it as something else we learn, as one more message, as one more sermon, as one more devotional, but help us to be challenged every time we come to you, every time we open Scripture, every time we are taught Scripture, God. Help us to realize how precious that moment is, how precious the wisdom we're being given, and that we may take it to our hearts and set our hearts to apply those truths in us. Even if it takes us the rest of our human lives here in this earth, as we strive to apply your truth, that your Holy Spirit may help us to do it, not giving up and believing in your promises, so that we are more like Christ, and that our lives, our families, our chapel, our nation will be blessed through that. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.